The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, scientists say that living robots have reproduced.
I'm Tony Kornheiser, tell me about it. My friend's sex robot is pregnant.
Yeah, sure. Who are these scientists, and where are we getting this information?
That's a funny line. Don't be too literal about these things.
I was being literal.
Yeah.
Scientists say.
Welcome to PTI, kids. In today's episode, Tiger talks, the Seahawks lose again, and the Warriors try to end the Suns' 16-game win streak. But we begin today with college football and something even bigger than Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma for USC. And that is Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame for LSU, reportedly for 10 years and $95 million. Wilbon, does this make sense to you?
Tony, at first, no. It just didn't make sense to me when I first... You know, we ended our show yesterday, and I'm out here, and I was with a group of people who talk about sports, whether they're basketball or football, people that care about college basketball, football, all of them. And everybody was like, what? This makes no sense. I mean, I can't imagine Kelly in that environment necessarily in Louisiana. I don't know that his resume of the greater Northeast, like New England, and then South Bend, prepare the people of Louisiana for him. And so that was my first thought. You know, Tony, the more I listened and the more I heard people talk about it and Kelly's, if you want to call it dissatisfaction with Notre Dame, nobody should be dissatisfied with Notre Dame, but he wanted more kids in school than he just wanted, even if the school didn't perhaps want them, and facilities, and you hear all this stuff, and you go, all right, you know, maybe so. And he's been there long enough. I heard Jack Swarbrick, the AD, longtime AD at Notre Dame, talk about, yeah, we knew this was coming. It's okay. He's been here a long time, 13 years, a long time to be at Notre Dame. And by the time I added all that up, I was like, yeah, what the hell? Go to LSU, have a great time. This is the final chapter, write a new one.
So that's interesting. I had a completely different reaction from where you are now, and I'm still at a different place than where you are now. And I know you don't like to be surprised and say things don't surprise you. This stunned me. Nobody leaves Notre Dame to go to another college. Yesterday, we said how nobody left Oklahoma to go to another college job in like 75 years, okay? Nobody ever leaves Notre Dame to do this. This, to me, was like 10 years ago if Mike Krzyzewski had left Duke to go to Kansas or Villanova, and I would have sat here and I would have said, I don't understand it. I simply don't understand it. I, like you, have heard, because I watch television today, that Brian Kelly wants to win a national championship, and he thinks it's easier to accomplish that at LSU for a variety of reasons. And I would tell you, maybe in theory, that's right, but navigating through the SEC, a schedule like that, when they're going to add Oklahoma and Texas, is to me a much, much harder path to a national championship than being at Notre Dame. And to your other point, he's a Northerner. This is the Deep South. Will they trust him?
Yes.
Will they believe in him? People get canned in the Southeast Conference every single day. They buy you out. They sell your house while you're still in it. I don't get this one. I don't. And to me, it seems like the wrong move. I mean, what's the money? Mel Tucker's getting the same money at Michigan State. Is it just money?
Tony, yeah, it's twice as much. But Tony, think about this sentence. It seems to me just like a lie. I got a better shot at winning a national championship in LSU. I'm saying that on a day when my Notre Dame team is prepared to move into the Final Four.
Into the playoffs.
Right? Yeah. Now.
Yeah.
Right now. LSU's at the crib. Remember when Jim Valvano used to say, I got to have a chance because I'm here. And
so
they're not here.
Yeah, we're the only playing.
So Brian Kelly,
right.
So what is he saying?
That's right.
I mean, that's just a lie. Just say, I want the money, dude. I'm getting $10 million. I'm getting $10 million.
I'm telling
you say that.
When coaches do this, I used to feel bad for the kids they recruited. I don't anymore because now they have name, image, and likeness. And now they have the transfer portal. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not as wildly optimistic about this as some other people. I'm not
optimistic. It's so curious now. Coaches just leave places that other coaches for generations, for like you said, 75 years, would die to work there. And now,
Notre Dame. All right.
Wow. Tiger Woods is setting what he calls realistic expectations for any return to golf. Speaking today ahead of his Hero World Challenge, Tiger said he's lucky to be alive and still have the right leg that was shattered in his one-car accident back in February. He told Golf Digest that he could see competing in individual events like Ben Hogan once did, but not playing on tour full-time, and repeated that today. Tone, your thoughts on his comments.
So I watched both of these things. I watched the Golf Digest thing, and I watched the live event at the Hero World Classic, which I guess is Tiger's tournament. My immediate takeaway was that Tiger very, very, very much wants to go back on the tour and be Tiger Woods, and he just doesn't think he can. He looked old to me, Mike. He sounded old to me. He was wistful to a degree. He was looking backwards, I thought, more than forwards. I think that at some point he'll probably play the Masters in a ceremonial way like a lot of old winners do. But I also think what he was doing today more than anything else is not only was he cautioning you and me and the general public that he wasn't sure he could ever come back, I felt like he was saying it out loud to convince himself. He had to hear himself say the words out loud.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I'm going to take it further. He doesn't think he probably can't play. He knows he can't play. He knows what that leg looks like. We don't. It's shattered, Tony. He talked about being fortunate to have it. And when he said, when someone asked him, is he in pain now? And he said, yeah, back and leg. It's it, Tone. It's a wrap. And it's okay. What made me feel better about this was that Tiger knew, but yet he wasn't morose. He had a smile most of the time. His demeanor, I thought, was great. It was great. He almost was chuckling, saying, dude, this is not going to happen. And it's not going to happen, Tony. This is a wrap for all purposes that are reasonable. And then somebody prefaced the question by saying, in my travels, I find that 80% of the people I encounter, they all think you're going to come back and win a major. They do, because people, aren't that smart about most things that don't concern them specifically. And they also are just wildly optimistic. They're not looking at the nuances of the situation. Tiger's done with this. Yeah. But if he can be, anytime he's around golf, lending his name to it, I feel better, and I hope he does.
There are two things. The pushback comes in two parts. One is that Phil Mickelson became the oldest guy to win a major this past year when he won the PGA. And if Tiger's playing the long game, he thinks, well, maybe I can do that. And two is the deliberate mentioning of Ben Hogan, who after a terrible car accident came back and won more majors afterwards than he won before. There are distinctions, though. Ben Hogan was 37. Next month, Tiger's going to be 46 years old. He's had so many operations on his back and on his knees, and he had this crash. It's hard to imagine he could come back on the level that he's used to and that he wants. So,
Tony,
I agree.
I don't imagine it, and I wonder if he does anymore. Dream about it, fantasize about it. I, as a person whose whole golf life and is defined by Tiger Woods and what he did, I played golf because of Tiger Woods. Tony, it's over. And I think he was saying today, hey, it's over and it's okay. I don't think he thinks he's going to be Ben Hogan and win like that.
You played golf because of Tiger Woods. I thought you joined Columbia because of me. I thought you liked playing with me.
Luckily, I had a guy in the gated community who could, put his name on something and help me get in. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Wilbon, you're in Phoenix right now. So are the Golden State Warriors. You'll be there tonight when the Warriors play the Phoenix Suns. These teams have by far the best records in the NBA. Together, they've won 23 games in a row. Phoenix won 16 in a row. Golden State, 7. What are you looking for?
Tony, I'm not looking for who's going to win, who you got. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking to see two great teams, early season though it is, but the season's a quarter over. I'm looking to see how they approach each other. How are Chris Paul and Steph Curry, who are two of the all-time greats, we know they're in the top 75, two all-time greats at the position. And with that, they're higher up than that. They're in the top whatever number you want to choose. I'd say, 3 or 4, you know, in the last 30 years or more, these two. But they're so wildly different in the way they approach it. I can't wait to see that. You know, Chris Paul leading the league in assists and how he's going to use those teammates to try and win this game. Steph Curry, who I sat with last night for an interview that will appear somewhere on this network, talking about how he's going right now and the prolific scoring and what he's doing with these sort of new teammates until Klay Thompson gets back. And the encouragement of that, the feeling from he and Draymond Green that they can win again and how great that feels. I'm looking forward to sort of a celebration of that. I think the game will be joyous, and that matters to me.
Yeah, so I don't know what I'm looking forward to because it's a 10 o'clock start for me, and I won't be able to get all the way through it, and I'm upset because I really want to see this game because I really like both these teams. 16 in a row. That is a big deal. And the resurrection of the Golden State Warriors and what that means for the NBA is a big deal. Because we know people like to tune in and watch them. We know that. I look at this game in this particular way. I think that Phoenix has a lot more to prove than Golden State. Golden State's sitting on three rings, and you know they're going to get better the day that Klay Thompson comes back. Phoenix has no rings, and it's not like Dan Majerle or Amar'e Stoudemire are walking through that door. So, Phoenix, Mike, we talk a lot about in the NFL, the next two or three games and what that stretch looks like as to whether you'll make the playoffs.
Right.
Phoenix gets Golden State tonight and they get them again on Friday. If they were to win both those games, the rest of the league has to sit up and take notice. So for me, it's one of those rare times when it's an important game. And I wish I would watch it. Let's take a break. Coming up, is it a bigger deal that the Seahawks lost or that the football team won?
And Kemba Walker and Blake Griffin are both out of his team's respective rotation. Who should be more surprised, Tony? I should just wake you. If I wake you with a phone call, do you automatically go back to sleep? Or will you then be up?
Don't wake me. Do you think Notre Dame will go after Harbaugh or Urban Meyer? You think so?
Urban yes.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by Captain Morgan, part of Happy Hour.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, then becomes despondent when he realizes there's no Maction tonight. What is up with that?
No Maction, baby.
Toss-up, bigger story last night. The football team winning or the Seahawks losing?
The football team winning. Seattle is done. We've been watching this all season long. They're done. Russell Wilson should have left when he had the opportunity. Look, the football team, they're better on defense than they were even before their great player left. Right?
Chase Young.
And he got hurt. Chase Young from
better
Ohio
since
State.
Chase Young.
In the last three games, they're 3-0. They've beaten the Bucs. They've beaten Carolina. They've beaten Seattle. Okay, the last two aren't very great. But they've held people of 55 points total. Mike, you can win in the league if you give up 18 a game. They got a folk hero at quarterback. Taylor Heinicke is a folk hero. Everybody has confidence in him. And most important, Mike, it's on their rackets. Okay, their last five games are two with Dallas, two with Philly, one with the Giants. Division games, each counts two instead of one. So there are no excuses. They're the story.
Tone, they're nice. And, you know, playing Dallas a couple of times, this game's going to be exciting. The story right now is the team that is done, that is deep sixth. And that's Seattle. They've lost, what, 6 of 7? This is the first three-game losing streak in Russell Wilson's career. This is the first time certainly he's had that. Carroll and Russell together, the fact that they are just going down and they don't seem to be able to get up, that's the story, Tony. No. They seem to be in despair. You're right. It's not the first time we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks, but they're in despair. They're not coming out of it. And the burial, the taking the dirt and shoveling it on the Seahawks, a once great team. And look, those guys may be separate, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, apart from each other one more time. Maybe there's a song to be sung without the other. But right now, the both of them are down and can't get
up. Should have happened during the summer. That's my point. What's next?
Toss up, their teams play tonight. Who should be more surprised about being out of his team's rotation? Kemba Walker or Blake Griffin?
Kemba Walker? You kidding me? He's a New York boy. He went to Rice High School, school that produced Dean Memminger and Felipe Lopez and Charlie Yelverton. He wanted the Knicks. The Knicks wanted him. They're paying him $20 million. And he's having a career low in assists, in points, and in rebounds. What else is there? He's done. And they took him out. Mike, they are minus 13 points on every 100 possessions when he's on the floor and plus 11 when he's off. Tibbs had to do this. And to me, it is stunning. Blake Griffin's been done for 2 years. Didn't he go like 300 games without a dunk? He's shooting 16% from three. Blake Griffin could see this coming. Kemba Walker couldn't.
Tony, the Kemba Walker thing is sad to me. Kemba Walker, he's just a great guy. I talked to him a few nights ago. He loves being in New York. He loves being back at home, as you outlined. This is a sort of a dream if he couldn't do it somewhere else in Charlotte or Boston. But, Tony, we've seen people's knees betray them. We started this show with talk of knee surgeries and back surgeries and operations, and no, it wasn't a tragic accident. But Kemba Walker can't do the things physically that he did just a few years ago. And I just feel so bad for him, Tony. But Tibbs has had to rely more and more on Derrick Rose, speaking of knees. And this is not a great story. It's just sort of sad. And I hope Kemba Walker has a burst left in him. Maybe it's to help them get to the playoffs or win a series once they're there. But yeah, Blake Griffin has been sort of over. I mean, he had a moment or two last spring, but
it's
Kemba,
over.
It's just, I hate saying it. Hate saying it.
That's over. We're over. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Javi Baez leaving the Mets, but it's not to return to your Cubs.
That's okay. And after Michigan's upset of Ohio State, the Ohio State University, how will the latest college football playoff rankings look? This Kemba Walker thing bothers me, Tone. He's just one of the nice people I've ever met in sports. Love Kemba Walker.
Do you remember?
Hate saying this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, boys and girls. Happy 52nd birthday, Larry Brown. This Larry Brown is the Cowboys cornerback who became MVP of Super Bowl 30 when he intercepted 2 second-half passes from Pittsburgh's Neil O'Donnell, and in both cases, Emmitt Smith turned them into touchdowns. It's tough to win an MVP on defense when the offense has Emmitt, Aikman, and Irvin. Brown was the first defensive back to ever win Super Bowl MVP, played 8 seasons in the NFL, and was on 3 Super Bowl winners. On a personal note, and meaning no disrespect, but this Larry Brown is 3rd on my all-time Larry Brown list. 2nd is number 43 of the Washington football team, the running back Larry Brown, who was the NFL's MVP in 1972. And 1st is my old camp counselor at Camp Kiyuma, the Larry Brown who remains the only coach to win both an NCAA title and an NBA title.
That's a broad range of athletic accomplishment for the name Larry N. Brown. But you know, your old camp coach, he would tell me quietly sometimes, I'm tired of Tony. I'm done with him. Enough. It's been like 75 years. No, he didn't. I'm teasing.
He probably did. Happy anniversary, no, Auburn. On this day, 8 years ago, Chris Davis wowed the home crowd when he returned Alabama's 57-yard field goal attempt at the buzzer, more than 100 yards to lift the number four Tigers over number one Alabama, 34-28. This is the famous kick six. It's maybe the greatest ending in the history of college football. Now, you might say the Stanford band ending or the Flutie pass, but both those games did not have the combination of rivalry and rankings that this one did. Just the other day, Auburn and Alabama played another great Iron Bowl with another great ending, as Alabama drove the ball 97 yards in less than 2 minutes, then beat Auburn in overtime. The next day, Indianapolis came close to a miracle game-tying kick return against Tampa Bay. Kick returns are the most fun.
They are, and they've been legislated out almost, Tony. I'll take the Stanford band because of the visual against Cal, but who the heck can argue against the kick six? I mean, it's just stunning. It is the most stunning ending, but a band on the field, man. I can't get over that, and it's been a million years.
Happy trails to the Mets for Javi Baez. Will Bond, your favorite shortstop, is on the move, but not back to your Cubs, to another Midwestern city, Detroit. The Tigers will reportedly pay Baez $140 million for the next 6 years. The 28-year-old had 31 homers and 87 RBI for the Cubs and Mets last season, but he also led the league, National League, in strikeouts with 184. Baez joins the previously moribund Tigers, who rebounded wonderfully from manager A.J. Hinch, going 69-66 after April. Detroit had previously signed left-handed starter Eduardo Rodriguez to a 5-year deal. Look around at the free agent signings so far. Texas bought a middle infield with Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. The Mariners just signed Cy Young winner Robbie Ray, and it feels like the owners are saying to the players, why would you strike? We're paying big money here. As to the union's charge that many teams aren't even competing, here are small-profile teams, Detroit, Texas, Seattle, trying to compete. It's the Yankees, Dodgers, and Red Sox on the sidelines so far.
Yeah, but they'll find the hot stove. If Javi can cut down lunging after those pitches off the plate or the ones in his eyeballs and cut those strikeouts down, I think there's a 40-home run, 120 RBI year, and an MVP in him. I do. Love him.
184 strikeouts is way too many. Bah, let's go to the big finish.
Let's
Rockets coach Stephen Silas told the Houston Chronicle that John Wall is working towards playing again. Your thoughts?
My thought was that John Wall's been working toward playing. It's management that told him to stay away, not the other way around. John Wall isn't guilty of anything here. College football playoff rankings tonight. What do you expect?
I got Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Cincinnati 3, and Alabama 4. That's what I expect. The Bulls beat the Hornets last night. Is that significant in your life?
Mostly, and it was ball-on-ball crime. I got to give Daddy Ball some credit because he had his sons out there. The Bulls needed to win that game at home last night. Significant for me, yeah. Virginia Tech hired Penn State defensive coordinator Brent Pry as its next head coach. Does that make sense?
I always thought that Virginia Tech, that their reputation was made on defense and special teams more than offense. So if they have somebody with a defensive background, it makes sense. Last one, college basketball tonight, number one Duke at unranked Ohio State. Are you smelling upset?
No, but I'm not paying attention either, Tony. It's a big boy ball night tonight. Not the little guys, big guys right here in the desert.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. And now, here's SportsCenter.
Enjoy that game tonight.
I am.